the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive, and it is literally The Drive here on this Friday as we have just gotten into our vehicle and making the drive from Houston to San Antonio on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well, and welcome in to the drive. Bill on the road, Coach Don Dunn in the studio, and we're hoping that we hear from Dan Peck during the show. I got a text, from Barrett Salee, and you know the Braves off to just an awful start. Of course, in Barrett's debut season as being the pregame and postgame radio show host for the Braves, Barrett saying in games such as tonight, when they've got a 7 o'clock Eastern first pitch, 6 o'clock Central, their pregame, as a matter of fact, just started. So we're going to see if we can get with Barrett and try to you know, work out a time that works for him better. But he's unable to be on with us this afternoon. I'm telling you, it was a lot of orange in at Hartsfield Airport today in Atlanta. I mean, a lot of Auburn folks making the trip out to the Final Four, and there were quite a few on our flight from Atlanta to Houston. So I guess a lot of folks are doing as we are, flying into Houston and either driving over today or coming over tomorrow for the ball game. But I mean, should be a great Auburn crowd. I haven't had a chance to see a lot of the news of the day, but I saw a couple of quick notes. Saw Brian Matthews' notes about practice earlier today. It was an open practice where fans were invited and able to come out and watch the practice, and said it was a huge Auburn crowd. There must have been 5,000 Auburn fans watching practice today. So that gives you an idea of the representation that Auburn's going to have at the Final Four. So we're getting underway. Don, how are you doing back in Auburn?
Doing great, Bill. Glad that you guys made it out safe. Sounds exciting. Yeah, there was a huge crowd. I saw some of the clippings today from the open practice. Huge crowd, very enthusiastic. Sounds like everybody's ready to go tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, no question. And like I said, I mean, a great crowd on the way out. There were a couple of Houston fans. It makes sense.
Yeah.
We are at Houston. But, I mean, everybody really excited. Everybody really excited about this one coming up tomorrow. I'm telling you, what was really encouraging in the short clip that I did see, Janai Broome looks like he's not favoring that right shoulder at all. I mean, saw him just flipping around. He was messing around and, you know, shooting some right-handed as well. Now, you know, around the basket, he's been pretty ambidextrous, but that was nice to see. So, you know, hopefully he's good to go. That would be huge for the Tigers tomorrow afternoon for that 5:09 start against the Florida Gators.
Yeah, he told some guys today that he was really good and would be even better tomorrow. So that's a good sign, and hopefully he's 100%. And stays healthy throughout the game, because it's going to be a battle in there with those big guys from Florida, as you know. So very important that he's ready to go for us tomorrow.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, the keys, we've talked about it a few times. I mean, Chaney Johnson's going to have to play very well. Dylan Cardwell, those guys are going to have to stay out of foul trouble and defensive rebound, keep Florida off the offensive glass. And then, of course, the Florida guards led by Walter Clayton, are so dangerous. So Denver Jones and Auburn, it'll be really interesting to see. I have not seen who the officials are for the matchup tomorrow night, but interesting to see how it's called. I mean, if they let them play, that's probably fine. I mean, Florida's a physical team too, but they have a little more depth than Auburn does right now. So probably, I would think, good for Auburn if they can be physical and not have to be as concerned, hopefully, with Chaney or Dylan getting into early foul trouble.
Yeah, no doubt. We got to stay out of foul trouble, especially with our big guys, like you just said.
We'd love for you to join in here on the Friday edition of The Drive. You can give us a call on The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar at 334-321-1390. You can text us on The Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcast of The Drive. That number is 334-564-1840. So, love to get your thoughts. Auburn still, is able to play the underdog because they are the underdog. I mean, still, this at least as of this morning, had the longest odds of any of the four teams. And, you know, as we've said, this is a situation Bruce Pearl really likes. He'd prefer, he even said it as much in a couple of interviews I'm seeing, that, you know, he prefers being the underdog. And this is a great case for a little motivation, a little extra motivation for the team. Not that they need it when you're in the Final Four and you're taking on a Florida team that beat you at your own place. But when you're not getting the respect after you've been the number one overall national seed and the number one team in the country for 9 consecutive weeks before the last week of the season, I think it's a great situation for them. So they look pretty loose just in the few warm-ups, things that I saw. Looked like they were pretty loose and ready to play come tomorrow evening.
Yeah, and, you know, again, Bill, like we talked, the schedule they played, the places they played, the big stadiums, the travel, the top-ranked teams, I think that all helps when you get to a point in the season like we are right now.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. So, yeah, we'd love your thoughts. Give us a call. How do you think tomorrow's going to turn out? The Auburn-Florida game, but Duke-Houston, I think a lot of the Houston folks that we've seen are like wondering why nobody's given them much of a shot against the Blue Devils.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be a good game, too. There's four good teams there, and like you said, four number one seeds, and they're number one for a reason.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. What's the weather looking like? Any change for – I know there's been a lot of concern, especially about Sunday, as far as baseball. I saw that softball has already had a change, and they're on the road in Lexington.
Yeah, there's some bad weather up through Tennessee, Nashville, Louisville, Lexington, Cincinnati, expecting a lot of rain up through there. Our forecast for Sunday is 93% rain, 10% Saturday and 9% today. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to change that game, but I haven't heard anything yet. Have you?
No, I hadn't. Yeah. That's why I was wondering if there had been, and I've been monitoring in case for some updates or anything on it. But, I mean, Butch Thompson told us yesterday when we were talking about baseball that he expects there to be a doubleheader tomorrow, and he'd like to start the first game at 2:00.
Yeah,
we were thinking, you know, maybe earlier than that when we had Jason on with us the other day. But Butch said he'd rather keep things closer together and have the guys, once they get out there and get loosened up, not have to have a long break in between games. So big opener tonight against Alabama.
Yes,
with that 6:00 first pitch over at Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park. Alabama coming in the number 8 team in the country. Auburn still is nationally ranked. I've seen him as high as 14. So, I mean, in this league, you know, the odds are you're going to be, either playing or you are a nationally ranked team. So, big series for the Tigers as they open it up against Alabama. We've got some audio we can get to a little later on from Butch Thompson. We'll let you hear that again. We'd love to hear from you, though, as we're underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Just looking like we're gonna get some rain here probably tomorrow, which is gonna precede what comes through, you know, over there for you guys.
Right.
So we're looking at that kind of stuff too. It's gonna be a big change. I mean, it was 85 plus humid when we landed here in Houston, and it's supposed to be down in the 40s by tomorrow night. So I think there's going to be some big changes coming. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We have some audio. We ran some audio from players yesterday. You know, we might rerun the interview with Dylan is another thought that we can do here for this afternoon. Again, we're just getting underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill on the road here from Houston to San Antonio, and Don is back in the studio, 334-321-1390. And we were making good time, and now we're about to hit 10, and it is
bumper to bumper.
I mean, my goodness. Yeah, well, I guess we're approaching afternoon rush hour on a Friday.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah, so we're in for it. So we probably won't be moving too much here as we continue here this afternoon. Again, love for you to join us. Give us your thoughts. You want to give us some predictions for the Final Four? Anything you want to talk about sports wise? As we're just underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck,
and he's like, "I'll try. You'll try. What are you eating?" Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill on the road to the Final Four with the actual drive as we are in I-10 rush hour traffic trying to head out of Houston towards San Antonio. Coach Don Dunn in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. There's a lot going on in Auburn. We mentioned the baseball. Weekend is going on. Auburn's got some big-time prospects coming in, and the Tigers with another scrimmage tomorrow morning. Don, I mean, we've talked. We'll get into some talk in a little bit about spring game thoughts and stuff like that for A-Day, but this is that really, to me, as important a scrimmage as Auburn, I think, is going to have. The scrimmage before the last week, because next week when fans come out, you know, it's just going to be a practice and you're sure not going to show anything. I would think this is as important a practice as you probably have during the spring.
Yeah, I think you're right, Bill. Usually the second scrimmage is you're getting everybody a lot of reps so they can do a lot of evaluating. They'll probably back it off, like you said, after tomorrow. I know the quarterbacks will not be live. I don't know if they'll tackle the receivers, but pretty much I would imagine everything up front and inside is going to be full go. And, yeah, you're exactly right. This is a big sort of a final scrimmage before you get ready for fall practice, because next weekend, like you said, it'll be more for the fans and a toned-down practice.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the receivers aren't going to be tackled. They've been, we've been seeing a full contact when we've been out for media viewing windows the last 2 weeks. So, I'm sure they are. And what a great matchup it has been. DJ Durkin, very pleased with the, secondary, with the combination of experience and young talent that they have back there in the secondary. We've heard quite a few names. You know, we talked about the receivers. We haven't talked as much about the guys in the secondary, in addition to Kay and Lee and Jake Crawford. I mean, you've got a couple of youngsters. Blake Woodby, the freshman from the Baltimore area, Donovan Starr out of Nashville. Both those guys have been getting a lot of work with the second bunch, and we've seen Blake Woodby rotating in with the first unit. So, I mean, those are a couple of guys that are really pushing for playing time. And then another guy that was injured last year was Kinsley Faustin. He and Amon Lane Gaines are second-year players that some of the receivers have been talking about. So, I mean, that's just outside guys, corners or slot-type guys that whether they call them stars or nickels or whatever, but mm-hmm. the inside and outside corners, Auburn's in a really good situation with feeling like they've got a half dozen players that are talented enough to be SEC cornerbacks.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have. And, you know, like we talked, the second year is always better. I know that they're very pleased with the depth that they're developing, the new guys, the old guys. And you know, the second year just seems to be really the third year, I guess, seems to be so much better. And most of the staff stayed in contact, which also helps.
Oh, yeah, that there's so much continuity. I mean, there are a couple of changes, obviously, on the staff. Charles Kelly and Josh Aldridge leaving Charles to be the head coach, and then to be a head coach while Josh is now a coordinator. So those guys moving up. But, I mean, the rest of the staff, there's continuity. And in one, and one of the positions, one of those openings, was filled by T.J. Rushing, who was already on the staff as you know, as a off-field
right
assistant a year ago. So yeah, he's moving up. He's familiar with the players. The players familiar with him.
Yes.
So yeah, that's something that is huge when you can have that kind of continuity. Man, you can relate to that because I don't know that we've seen a staff that stuck together like you guys did under Tubbs.
Yeah, you know, other than a few coordinators, and Joe Panunzio was the only non-coordinator, and he left for the head job at Murray State.
Right.
So, yeah, 10 years, that's kind of unheard of. And
especially these days.
Oh, my goodness.
Really unheard of. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, so I mean, that's what you really hope you could have, some kind of continuity so the players,
right,
you know what the verbiage is. They know, you know, what everything's being called. They know what's expected of them. So yeah, Saturday, tomorrow, I would expect that's going to be really interesting to the folks to get a chance to watch.
Right.
Is the battles there between the receivers and the secondary. And that's one thing. Hugh Freeze has just gone on and on and on about the how pleased he is with his receivers here this spring. Just the young guys, the second-year players who now understand they're not having to think when they're out there. They just know what's expected of them. And if they want to make changes, that it doesn't really set them back. And you can just see it in the timing, the routes that they're running with Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons. You know, Perry Thompson's a guy trying to make that big step forward, as I was saying though the other day. I mean, you bring in transfers like Eric Singleton and Horatio Fields, and those guys are really going to be tough to, you know, tough to keep them off the field. And then you've got a true freshman in Sam Turner who is really catching eyes. So I mean, it's a very good situation numbers wise. But the other thing about tomorrow, and as we head into the final week of practice, is this is that big opportunity for these players. And the players know, whether or not you post a depth chart, the players know where they stand on in the rankings. They know who's going out there with the first bunch, who's getting the first call, the second call, and so forth. So, you know, some of these guys, if they don't get that opportunity or take advantage of that opportunity here in the current state that we have in college athletics, you would expect that these would be guys that very much could be considering entering the portal.
Oh, no doubt. Like you said, this is a big day for a lot of people, coaches and players, tomorrow. And, I expect it to be a long scrimmage and you know, like we said earlier, getting a lot of reps so they can get a lot of film on these guys and keep evaluating.
Yeah, and of course, the longer the scrimmage, the more work you're going to get for both your quarterbacks because you've only got two quarterbacks on scholarship out there. I really like what I've seen from Jackson Arnold here early on, but I mean, we will see. You know, he's a guy that had all the credentials in the world going into last year at Oklahoma, and a lot of people expected him to really shine, but then they lost all of their receivers.
Yes.
They had five receivers that were out injured before the season even got going. And then they had a new coordinator. Things just didn't really click. And Jackson ended up, you know, relinquishing the starting duties for a little while. But when he came back, his numbers down the stretch were pretty darn good. He completed better than 66% of his passes. Didn't throw an interception in the last four or five ball games. So, I mean, he played better then, but just felt like he needed a fresh start. And you know, he's a guy that's just, you know, a year removed from being that that five-star Elite 11 MVP that everybody was expecting to come in and take the reins, be that next great quarterback at Oklahoma. Now, not going to do it there. Auburn hoping it, that he can find that, you know, that magic that everybody expected to see from him there. But in the meantime, you got a Deuce Knight, who I think has been better than folks expected here coming in. He, everybody knew the raw ability was there, but he's a guy that wasn't a high percentage passer in high school. But man, he has looked extremely sharp. And Coach Freeze and Ken Austin have said, "Hey, not a lot of balls have been hitting the ground. They've been both completing a high percentage of their passes, and maybe part of that, I hadn't really thought about this, but I mean, maybe Deuce was in a situation where if you saw a lot of their scores, they were in a lot of shootouts. I mean, a lot of 50-40 type ball games.
Yeah.
And when you're having to sling it and playing from behind, you're probably not going to complete, you know, 65-70% of your passes. But thus far, he's been a very pleasant surprise. Now, we'll see. I mean, it's still a big jump from spring practice to SEC, but I think the coaches have been really pleased that he's been able to get out there. And for Jackson Arnold, it's not like, well, there's no competition at all. He's got somebody pushing him.
Yeah, he's, like we've talked, a special, special athlete. Has a lot of upside. Seems to be catching on, you know, taking in everything they're inserting in the offense, and a heck of an athlete. And that is a really, really, really good thing to hear that he's so far ahead. And you always worry about a high school kid coming in. But again, like we talked yesterday, what an advantage coming in early. Just think if he had to wait and come in June.
Oh, no question. Yeah, that's one of the things Hugh said. So there's no way that he could be pushing Jackson Arnold if he didn't come in school, until the summer.
And
I was thinking about this.
And plus them pushing spring back a couple of months.
Oh, yeah. Has there been more time for the players to learn, understand the terminology, and go through the weight programs and study the playbook more? But, you know, I was thinking about this. Interesting, I mean, here Deuce is coming in, and, you know, he's a big, lanky. Now, he's a lefty, but I was thinking that Auburn had pretty good success. You guys had pretty good success with that big, lanky Mississippi product at quarterback as well.
Yeah.
And Jason Kemp.
No doubt. Yeah. He was from a small school just like Deuce. Yeah. They got some athletes over there. You just got to go find them.
Well, Jason and Deuce were a couple that everybody knew where to find them. I mean,
they weren't obscure,
like diamonds in the rough that nobody's heard of.
That's true.
334-321-1390, that's the drive hotline. Don, you'll sort of need to let me know, since I can't be looking at my phone. if we get calls, Drew can just let you know, and then you can let me know. We'd love to hear from you here on this Friday edition of The Drive. Hey, did we ever, I don't know if we ever were able to move Texas tickets for baseball.
I haven't heard, Drew, have you? Not yet, so they're still available.
Let's let people know again. Maybe a little late for this evening, but again, Tex, our good friend Tex, who is a former Auburn baseball player, member, and was, I believe, one time head of the baseball Letterman's Club at Auburn, has really good seats behind home plate, but he's not able to be in town this weekend. But he said he'd love to let those tickets go. A lot of the times he just gives them away, but he's got a really good cause in mind. And if you would like a pair of tickets for either tonight or either of the other two ball games this weekend against Alabama, he'll let you have them for face value. And then what he's going to do is he's going to match that amount and the total amount of what what you pay for the tickets, the face value you pay, and then he will match that, and the proceeds are going to go to the Auburn wheelchair tennis team. So if you're interested, you can get great seats at face value, and the proceeds are going to be going to a really good cause. So if you're interested, you can just call in, and Drew will give you the info. We'll get you the info to get you in touch with Tex, and he'll get you those digital tickets. So we're at the bottom of hour number one. Again, we've got some audio from Butch Thompson that we can play for you. We can redo the Dylan Cardwell Tiger Takes interview that we ran yesterday. But we'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. It's Bill on the road to the Final Four and Don in the studio here on this Friday edition of The Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. And drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Literally the Friday Drive. It's Friday Ride, actually. Thank goodness I'm not driving. We are on 10 in Houston. I don't remember. I don't know how much we've talked about it on the air, but not my favorite place to drive. So got Matt driving right now, and I'm just sort of on the ride as we're trying to head out of Houston to San Antonio for the Final Four Tigers and Gators tomorrow night. Late afternoon, 5:09 is the tip. Let's get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. And Pat is up first. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bill. How's it going, guys? I got to tell you some funny stuff here. So I used to live in Houston. I worked at Mission Control down there for 3 years when I graduated from Auburn. And I would make that drive from Auburn to Houston in 10 hours. And it was crazy because once you get down to like Mobile, it's like an hour. Every city is like an hour. Like Lake Charles is an hour from Houston.
Right.
But I remember that drive. I used to, when I'm getting to Auburn, I would literally have my head out the window trying to make it the last hour. But I had a girlfriend in North Houston when I was working down there for about 6 months, and I would have to drive through that traffic in the morning and at night and to go back home. And I ended that one because I just couldn't do it. I mean, literally, you just if you hit the traffic at the wrong time, like if you left at 5:55, if you'd make it straight through. But if you hit it at 6:01, you're like 30 extra minutes to get to work. And so it was crazy. But yeah, I hated that Houston traffic. That's why I'll never go to a big city ever again. I'm in Auburn forever. But
it's a combination of the traffic, and then if you do get it when things are moving, it is wild, man. It's like a road rage time. I mean, it is crazy.
Oh yeah. But I had a car and my air conditioner went out one day, and I'm stuck in traffic. I'm stuck in traffic and like, it's just, I mean, you're talking about like when it's like there's a wreck basically, but it accordions and it makes you so mad because when you finally get through the traffic, it's like there's nobody in front. So it's like, it just everybody just slows down and stops. And so I was sweating so bad because I had my tie on, my suit and tie on it. And so the buildings, you know, the shade from the buildings, if you stopped right where the shade was, it was like 10 degrees cooler. So then people were waiting for like the next till like 10 people went ahead, and then they would go to race up to the next shade. That's how hot it was. Well, for me, I was doing that because I didn't know my air conditioner was broke. But no, that's some crazy stuff when you're talking about Houston. I has brought back memories for craziness. But no, I feel good about this game. I really do.
I can't believe you guys aren't out here.
No, man, I'm not missing our place. Shoot, that's going to be more fun than anywhere.
Well, the only time I've ever,
yeah, well, I went out there for the national championship in football, and then because we had to collect after we won in Phoenix, I had a great time, but driving to go to Vegas to pick up the money we won. The whole time I was wishing I was back in Auburn, you know, because we're on the corner. I mean, it's just going to be. Somebody was telling me last night that there's not an Airbnb in Auburn open right now. Like you cannot get a room in Auburn. So I think they opened up the arena. I feel like a lot of people are going to Auburn, especially with Auburn, Alabama.
baseball. Oh yeah, I mean, what's gonna that's one thing. I mean, it does. It sort of stinks that baseball is going to be starting. While basketball is winding up with that 7 o'clock pitch. But I think that's one of the things Butch was thinking about is having that 2 o'clock ball game. That by hopefully the baseball game's wrapping up. You just walk right across the street into the arena. It's going to be free admission too. There are going to be concessions. So there should be a huge crowd, I would think, there at Neville to watch the ball game.
Yeah, and then after go roll the corner. So it's kind of a bittersweet thing. You know, I went and I loved being at the game, but then the whole time I was back in Auburn. So, but anyway, you're gonna have a great time. So, but I feel good about this game. I really do. For some reason, I just feel like, you know, with Janai coming back like that, I just feel like that almost like a team of destiny at this point. I just feel like it's gonna happen. But anyway, you have a great time, Bill, and thanks a lot. And talk to you later.
Man, great hearing from you, Pat. Yeah, you know what? I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, that his return back into the game, it felt like something from a movie or something that people would go, yeah, sure, that's it. I mean, when he walks off the court and says, I'm done, and then he comes back in, just points, goes back in, and as soon as he comes in, he pulls down that one-arm rebound, and then he hits the three. It is like that moment that's one of the things where you can hear the music building in the movie. Yeah, and
feel
and
the dreams.
After something like that, Don, you can't help but think, no, this is going to turn out good. That can't be an unhappy end to this story.
Yeah, that was quite a moment. One of those that you'll remember forever. And he'll be remembered forever for that. So pretty neat, pretty cool on a big, big stage.
it's interesting. I've seen, there have been some stories here in the last few days, and it's hard to argue with this. And it would have seemed just crazy to think about coming in, but there's no question now. I saw something the other day that had the Mount Rushmore of Auburn basketball, and there's no question Janai is on it. I mean, he's there. I mean, you talk about, Charles Barkley and Chuck Person and John Mingelt, but Janai Broome is definitely there, and I'd love to get folks' thoughts about this. I mean, how can you argue that he should not be considered the greatest player in Auburn basketball history now?
Yeah, no doubt. The year he's had, well, the years he's had his whole career, he's been very positive, a good player, a good representative, off the field, off the court, just seems like a class young man and tough, a lot tougher than people think. When you turn an ankle like he did, and man, that takes a long time to come back, and he didn't miss many games, and he's gutted it out and never complained. So, yeah, I don't see how he couldn't be in the top one or two in the history.
Well, I mean, Auburn said, Charles Barkley was an SEC player of the year. Janai is, but Janai has been named a national player of the year. He was the national big man of the year. So that's the thing. I mean, he has more accolades than any Auburn basketball player in history. And here he's led his team to the Final Four with a chance to go beyond. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it's very legitimate to say, he can be called the greatest player in Auburn basketball.
And he's done it, people say, the greatest year in SEC history.
Yeah, the toughest conference ever.
Yeah.
And
any team, top 16 teams, yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. So that's great. We are, again, coming to you from the road here. Don is in the studio. Love to hear from you. If you're not going to be able to make it out to San Antonio, what do you think about these ball games? And yes, I mean, we've been hearing about it, but the arena will be open for fans to come watch the Final Four, watch the Tigers and the Gators tomorrow, and the admission is free. So, I mean, man, you can't beat that.
No, that should be exciting.
Get over and check that out and just have a big party. And then, like Pat was saying, sure, then hopefully you just head on down to Toomer's Corner to celebrate after.
Yeah, you can tell, Bill, there's a lot of people in town. A lot of people buzzing around. I'm sure all the establishments will be packed tomorrow afternoon. You got baseball, you got basketball, and what an exciting time to be a Auburn Tiger and to be in Auburn if you can't be at the Final Four.
Oh, absolutely. We're about to make a quick pit stop since we've got the we have the 3-year-old and the 6-month-old, and some folks haven't eaten. As a matter of fact, since we left this morning.
I got you.
Tell you what, we had an interesting excursion already. We got out on the road a little after 7 this morning in 2 vehicles because I've got both sons and one daughter-in-law. The other's going to join us. She's got a wedding that she's videoing, and then she's going to join us if Auburn wins tomorrow. But we've got so younger son and his 3-year-old and my wife were in his car, and then I'm driving because Pat was talking about his air conditioning going out. Well, my older son, his air conditioning went out. So we're in my car with my older son and his wife and their 6-month-old. And we're following along behind because Matt and his wife fly out of Atlanta all the time. And he said he had ideas. He knew the best place for us, the best lot for us to park, for us to be able to get in and get on through, you know, the airport so we could get on the plane, which was supposed to fly out at 11:57. All right. So we got a little outside of LaGrange, and I'm right behind Matt as we're driving along, and I see him hit something, just like a piece of something in the road as we're driving along at, you know, 70-something, and it just flies up, and it looked like, I couldn't tell if it was like just a plate or a piece of plastic or whatever, but I mean, within a mile, his tire's flat.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so.
Wow.
So we're already thinking, oh, crap. You know, we want to make sure we've got plenty enough time when we get to the airport. So, Matt, I don't think Matt had to change a tire on his his new car. So we had to find where the jack and where the spare tire and was, and got it changed there on the side of the interstate with trucks and cars by. And then, of course, his spare, which is one of those minis, wasn't fully inflated. So it's like, well, you're going to need to get off there. In the meantime, I've got other son, his wife, and their 6-month-old, and they're like, we've got to get to the airport because we've got all this extra stuff. We've got a crib. We got a stroller. We've got to get there early. So we just leave them. It's like, we'll see you guys. We've got to go ahead and go.
See you in San Antonio. So, I mean,
yeah, we finally met up at the airport, and we're thinking, oh, this has really put us behind. But fortunately, as we are getting to 285, we all get notifications that our flight has been delayed. So that actually helped us out, but that's one of the reasons why we're still here in Houston.
I got
you. trying to get in is because of that. So hey, at least the flat tire. I was worried that it was going to cost us and we're going to miss our flight.
But right,
we
right.
made it. So here we are. I tell you what, we've got. We didn't run all the audio from the basketball interviews yesterday. We've got some of those that we can run for you. We also have the Butch Thompson interview that we can run. We may run Butch in hour number 2, but we've got some basketball audio. Again, we'd love to hear from you, though. Give us your thoughts. What do you think is going to happen in the Final Four tomorrow? How do you like the Tigers against the Gators? 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number 1 here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number 1 here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill on the road to the Final Four. We have just exited I-10 to try to satisfy everybody's hunger, including the little bitty ones. And then we'll be back on the road. Don is in the studio, and let's get back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Bill, I got to give you major props for the multitasking. It's really impressive.
I've had a lot of practice, man.
But, you know, one thing I got to call you out on, you don't have to lie. We all know you're stopping for food for yourself, not for the kids. But you can use the kids as an excuse.
Well, actually, no. Hey, I didn't make the call. I'm not driving. It's like I don't care. Wherever I did have a biscuit this morning. I think I probably had more than everybody else had all day. So, no, the entire vehicle was rocking like food. Let's stop now.
Probably be a lot cheaper, too.
They did good, though. If you got a 3 and a 6-year-old and they made it that far without having meals since this morning, they did a good job.
Yeah, well, it's actually it's a 6-month-old, so she can't say a whole lot. Okay. But the 3-year-old's been snacking ever since we got in the car. So I think we'll probably have to stop at a grocery store and refill all her snacks now as we head towards San Antonio.
The last thing you guys had said was, how do I feel about the game? I'll tell you how I feel about the game. At about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I purchased 2 tickets to the national championship. So, I got to figure out how to get there on Monday. But that's how confident I am.
Hey, I know a lot of folks that have done the same thing. Seriously, I mean, I was surprised at how many folks were heading out for the whole thing. But then people that have said, look, I'm just getting tickets for Monday. So it's either going to be a lot of people looking to resell. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully there are more Auburn people looking.
Yeah. Tickets weren't bad. I'm in the 100 section, and I paid about $280 a ticket. Of course, they get you with all the extra fees.
That's barely more than the face value. That's a great deal.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Well, then tack $200 on for the stupid service fees, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
But no, I mean, I like our chances. I think you're going to see a different team. I think, you know, we were riding high when the Gators beat us last time. I don't think Walter Clayton Jr. had really had his coming out party. I think he kind of came out after that game. So I really like Coach Pearl to put Denver on him lock, stock, and barrel. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm confident, and I'm all in.
Hey, I don't see any reason not to be. I mean, the scouting that has gone into this, and the way the team has talked about how not just disappointed, but almost embarrassed they were at how easily they were handled at home. I like everything that we've seen heading into this. And again, the fact that Janai looks to be, it doesn't look like his shoulder's bothering him at all. This team's got so much motivation, and again, they've got that chip on their shoulder where nobody expects them to win. Everybody's picking them to lose, and they were the number one seed coming in. So I don't see it unless they just can't throw it in the ocean.
Yeah, and I think Janai, you know, he's got another chip added to his shoulder with Cooper Flagg winning the AP today. I think he's got to be
right
picked about that.
We got a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of been coming. I mean, I think anybody that's watched this tournament, how can you not give Janai credit if you've been watching the NCAA tournament? Cooper's been great, but I mean, just what Janai has done and then what he did the other day, I think it's, a little more fuel to the fire for him.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, on the road to the Final Four. We are on the outskirts of Houston as we are making our way to San Antonio for tomorrow's first game, Auburn versus Florida, followed by the Houston-Duke matchup. And we'd love for you to join in here in hour number two of the Drive, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations at Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can do so by calling the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390, or give us a text, send us a text on the text, the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That's number 334-564-1840. And let's jump right to the phones. Bill here on the road, Coach Don Dunn in the studio. And John is on the Drive hotline. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. War Eagle.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, you know, as somebody who, you know, back in the day, I remember going to games at Beard East. I wasn't even a kid, and I thought the blimp was the most interesting thing in the arena. Times have changed. But
the halftime show, what, whoever, you know, the unicyclist or the quick change artist. Or,
the
dog, know,
frisbee dog.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, I just wanted to say, though, with us being in our second Final Four, had me thinking, I think this program is sustainable. And, you know, whoever replaces Bruce, whenever that is, whether it's Steven or whether it's somebody else, I view this model currently, and it's college sports, it changes like the weather, but I view it as sustainable. I'm starting to believe for Auburn, as crazy as this sounds, it's a matter of when, not if, we finally can cut the nets down in the Final Four. And I just wanted to leave with a final thought. You know, here in the state of Alabama, Auburn has been to the Final Four in the last 2 years. Alabama has been to the Final Four in the last 2 years. Even a program like Tennessee has never been to a Final Four. And right. Somebody else has never been to a Final Four, Aiden Holloway. War Eagle, guys, take care.
Appreciate the call, John. You know what Bruce has done in building this team, finding the players that fit with either. I mean, they fit two things. They fit with what he wants to do, and also with who he has. I mean, going out and getting Jani Broome from Morehead State, getting Denver Jones from Florida International, getting Chad Baker Mazar, who'd been at a couple places, but he was coming out of junior college. Chaney Johnson, I mean, from smaller schools. And then he gets Miles Kelly, and you wonder, how is he going to fit? Because he was the go-to player on a Georgia Tech team, but it's really doing your homework and knowing the personality of these players and how they're going to fit into, you know, what you have. You've seen so many teams that can bring in the big names from the big schools, and they come in and they just don't mesh. And that's what it's about. And that's one thing that Bruce Pearl has shown just a remarkable ability to be able to go out and bring these pieces and put them together. And in quite a few cases, you come up with a whole that is bigger than the individual parts put together.
Yeah, he's done a heck of a job. And it is about the fit. It's so much about the fit. And, getting the right guys and the chemistry and all those things. And, yeah, I think we're in good shape for a long time to come, whether it's Coach Pearl or whoever. You got great facilities. You got a great fan base, sold-out arena every game, no matter who they play. And congratulations to Coach Pearl for getting another award today, AP Coach of the Year.
I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, that I don't like those.
Did a great job.
Yeah, but come on.
There's no question about that. But,
yeah.
I think that's a little motivation for the team too. It's like, well, Bruce, your coach is co-coach of the year, along with a guy who was the only number two seed to get knocked out and didn't make the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Plus, look at the league compared. I mean, come on, SEC, the teams that Coach Pearl and them played. I've never liked anything in awards, but, you know, it's still a great honor. And there's more awards to come, I hope, for this team and him.
Oh, yeah, well, the opportunities are indeed there. So, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. What do you, what do you think? How do you feel about the matchup tomorrow? Again, so much excitement about it. I mean, so many Auburn people. Like I said, I was surprised. I mean, the plane that we flew out to Houston on was at least half Auburn. All the people sitting around us didn't know them, but, I mean, they all had Auburn gear on in the airport in Atlanta.
Yeah.
There was so much orange and blue that was there, and it was Auburn orange and blue. You can tell the difference in Auburn orange and blue in Florida's orange and blue.
Oh,
Auburn,
no doubt. No
orange
doubt.
And blue there at the airport. So yeah, I mean, there's no question the excitement is there. Join us. Love for you two here in hour number two. We've got some audio that we can run for you. I know that we have a few different players that were interviewed yesterday at some of the media opportunities. We also have some Butch Thompson audio, but we go ahead and do that since Auburn, Alabama baseball is going to be starting in about 50 minutes, and you'll be able to hear that over on Wings 94.3 as the Tigers look to bounce back from that sweep in Athens last weekend and then a very disappointing loss to UAB on Tuesday night. And we had a chance to spend a few minutes with Butch Thompson yesterday, and he just talked about the mindset of the team and getting ready for this weekend and what it means and what he expects out of this team. We got that ready to play, Drew. Let's hear Butch Thompson.
All right, Coach, if you just want to open up with some quick comments on Alabama coming into town, and then we'll jump into questions.
Yep, excited for week four. Your rival, Alabama's coming to town. You know, at least for the first 2 days, the weather is going to be beautiful, so I'm expecting big crowds. This Alabama team's played great. I think about their shortstop right off the bat, LeBron, with over 50 RBIs, pretty impressive so far. So they have an amazing player. Pitching staff's been so competitive. They've done a nice job with that. And so evaluating our guys, you know, we've played three SEC weekends. We're 4-5, I think, in the league. And I feel like our team has been in eight of those ball games. And I'm excited about that. You know, we felt the thrill of walking somebody off. We felt the thrill of being walked off. We've experienced every emotion in this early part. But this is a courageous league, and it's never been better in my time being in it. And but that's what makes us special. You don't know what's going to happen each and every day. There's some growth we can have, but I think about Parker Carlson, courageous effort. We'd never have a shot to win a game. Seeing him down and out, and a courageous swing of the bat by Cade Ballou. I'm trying to balance a perfectionist mentality with some amazing things we've done to help us win two series. And really looking at it to this point, I mean, we've got some good wins in Oregon State, a Baylor, or some, to me, really quality wins for us, you know, a couple with Vandy, a couple with Kentucky. So I think we're in a great spot. We got two weekends at home, starting here with Alabama. Every team gives us an opportunity with us having still above a 500 record versus the top 25 teams in the country. And that's all we're going to get moving forward. We have to embrace that. We have to understand that. And, you know, I think you talked to Carson Myers and, you know, Tilly's coming into his own. There were some amazing bright spots. Bristol Carter played great last weekend. Ryan Hetzler continues to do a good job for us. Fisher looks like he's growing on the mound for us. We feel like every time Dutton takes the ball, we are competitive and have a chance to be in that ball game when we get to the second half of the game. So I'm trying to go back and build up a ball club to understand this is our body of work. We've played, it'll be game 30 tomorrow. So there's only 24, 25 opportunities remaining. And now's the time to go from all the practice we've done and playing your early part of the schedule, getting in this league, everything you've done. Hopefully guys aren't just trainers or like the long toss, that they love to play the game, because we're at that part of the season that's where we need players to play at this point. But that's what's amazing about this league, how you're matched athletically and everything's close. We got a nice competitive ball club that I still think I'm trying to show them some frustration, because these guys want to be developed. They want to grow. but I still think there's more out of them. So I'm going to keep clicking at their heels until we get there. But I think we're in a good, exciting mental space to get to play a huge series against our rival this weekend.
But you were obviously frustrated after the game Tuesday night. Just your message to the guys and their reaction yesterday and what you expect to see tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I point the positive things out to you guys, and I've been really positive, and I'm supposed to be the protector of these guys, but it's so different than what I know their top range potential is and what they can be doing. We can do more. And I can handle a lot of things with, you know, a game not going your way in a moment. I was bragging on Carlson. We got the bases loaded. He executed a big pitch, a ball hit to third. That ball could have just went as easily through the sixth hole and went through. So you don't always get the results you want. But when I know that guys are in between pitches and we're getting swings off that we're putting in play less than 80% and not letting it rip and counts and do some things and they're in between pitches, I know that. They know that. And to the credit, our leadership of our team, our players, and our guys want me to be able to point that out because they want us to get to – we want to stretch and strain and squeeze and see if we can get a little more juice out of this thing. We think we can. And that was my reasoning, is that's not close to what we can be. And seeing it for a brief little stint of not making that mark, you can be patient for a while, but there's got to be urgency to get right back to work. And that's what that was. So I'm thankful I got a group of guys. I really like this group of guys. I've said that from the start, not changing that. But just because you get to the park early, just because you work hard, just because you are a good player, that doesn't guarantee you success in this league. That's not an automatic. You've got to go out and play good baseball. And that's what I'm striving for with this group of guys. If they were meeting every expectation and were topping out and it was just short, been there before in this league over two decades, that's another thing. So I think you're going to see more frustration or more encouragement or more holding guys accountable, maybe even publicly, because there's more in the tank for this team than maybe at different points in the past.
But you talk about process. How important is that right now to not worry about what's happened previously, not what's happened in it, but to stick to, hey, this is what you are, and to only worry about what you're doing today?
That's another huge, huge point, because it really doesn't matter if we were 8-1 heading into week four. I mean, this thing can turn on a dime one way or the other, and if you hadn't got a hit in a month, it don't matter. If you've gotten 20 hits, you know, in the last five games, it don't matter. So there's no reason to put extra weight in your backpack, and there's no reason to get too ahead of yourself on your ego and think more of yourself, because this thing will humble you, because every team presents danger, and you got to meet that head on. They present a challenge of either decreasing your time or having a real pitch that, if you don't have a good plan, if you're so in the cloud with your ego and don't, you know, handle his good pitch, you're going to have a tough day. And conversely, offense, defense, on the mound, all that stuff is in play. So really, none of these weekends matter. And I think I appreciate Carson mentioning that, is he feels like the team's done a good job of just being in this one moment, one game, this one series. And that's absolutely where we need to be this weekend.
Do we have any injury updates from Eric Barr and guys who've been a little banged up recently?
Yeah, I mean, to be more transparent on that, I wish we had tomorrow at this time to talk about it. This practice, we're about to hit the field, is going to be huge. Guevara, I'm feeling pretty good, but we'll put about an honest, questionable statement on him, I would imagine, later today. Ballou, you know, same thing. This is their trial run. We've been petting them for a couple of days, and I think it's getting better every day. But those two guys are going to have to pass a couple of tests. So this is the first time we're checking and testing, and they feel questionable today, and then we'll have to make a hard decision to process paperwork in a timely manner. Parker Carlson's had been slow this week. He was not available Tuesday, so he's another one that I would put in that bucket of, like, seeing how he is today to make a decision on him for the weekend.
Mason Cook is close. You still want to see him before you thought?
I want him to get in the ball game. These Tuesdays have been hard. Like I said, every one of our games have been tight, close, and we haven't been able to force a game and say, hey, I'm just going to put you two guys in that you haven't thrown a pitch all year. So that's been a challenge. But he was available, and I wouldn't be surprised if he'd be on the 30-man especially if we withheld Parker for a weekend. Petrovic, I'm just trying to think of any other injuries that I don't want to leave out. Petrovic had some discomfort, and so we took him out. He was actually throwing the ball pretty good, but the velo was dipping again, and he warned us. And then what, you know, what is it? Coach doesn't have a lot of options after that. If you keep a guy in the game and something gets worse, then you can't live with yourself on that. So we pulled him out, precautionary, and so he'd be doubtful for the weekend as well.
Just quickly, just overview of this Alabama team. What do you see when
you're watching? Well, LeBron, the impact, and he just continued to play great. They, much like Georgia, they're trying to get off a swing. Got some good swings, some left-handedness. Just up in the zone, you try to climb the ladder on them, you better go over their head. They just absolutely, the ball travels, and they get flat with their swings, and they can get on top of the ball. My guess, they do a lot of high T work and a lot of machine work because they can find the top of the baseball when you compare them to other teams just sitting here spending a lot of time looking at. They get to the top of the baseball. Any of those guys that would be in a collection, like a lot of SEC aggressive hitters, if you'd better favor something short and sharp and down out of the hand with your breaking stuff. This get me over breaking stuff and trying to land it for a strike, I don't think is a great recipe. You know, some things. So some intent and purpose on your breaking stuff, trying to get beneath the barrels. I'm not giving a full plan, but that's a lot of the SEC. You know, the same side changeup, can that come into play for guys if they're, you know, do a great job with fastballs and et cetera, the same side changeup for a few of our guys that feature that. It can't be your fourth pitch, but if it's one of your pitches in your top two or three, you got to be able to mix that in as well. So I thought we had a great plan last weekend against Georgia. I really did. We could see it Friday night. We could even see it, our offense come back and put us in that ball game, the first game of the doubleheader, and then, of course, we wound up taking a lead in extra innings the third game. So I think our biggest challenge is getting the right guys on the right games. Mm-hmm. You know, we had some great pitcher performances, and they were all in three different games. I'm not going to say lucky, unlucky. I'm going to say figure it out is what I would say. Well, you don't make excuses. But I would think the biggest thing for our pitching staff is passing the baton properly. I still feel like that our opponent feels like that's a huge vulnerable moment for Auburn. And what can we do about that when somebody throws the ball pretty good and we pass the baton, and it's just, those have been tough moments for us. When that guy comes in and absolutely can we pass the baton? I think that's the difference, because everything's been close for us. And these things stick out when every game is close. But I think the one thing, if I ask our pitching staff to focus on, and it's not like they're not trying, but we can take a step forward, whether it's our rival, whether it's, doesn't matter who we're playing. We got enough guys pitching good that if we can pass the baton, it will help us in that one moment that's looked a little more vulnerable, and it would keep us from maybe having to throw so many guys in a weekend that may not expose some things for us. So that's the messaging. But we'll have a good pitch plan. It's all about the execution and the courage in these moments where we found some SEC wins and had success. That's in our past, and can we, everything that we can learn from a positive standpoint, apply that for this weekend?
Coach, just real quick, with a message to Bruce and the basketball team today, competing in the Final Four in San Antonio this weekend.
Man, I just I wish them the best. I think I echo what Coach Free said the other day, how, like, the name Auburn is being splashed all over America. I think the coverage and this Auburn basketball team has just brought amazing, amazing, amazing notoriety to an already amazing university. We got to go in person and see that second half in Lexington versus Creighton was amazing. I might try to jump on a horse and get there on Monday if they could, when they find a way to get through Saturday. But those players, Chris Moore's always been my favorite player. I think Chris knows it. I'm just proud of every one of those guys and root for them. The guys on those staff, Bruce is always, he and Brandy have been amazing to our baseball program and support of it. And I just couldn't be happier. And it's going to be a tough time, whether we play Sunday and got to play Tuesday, to not try to be there Monday for a national championship. That doesn't happen very, very often. So it's an amazing, exciting time. And we'll have the TVs on, and I know we're competing head-to-head some this weekend, but pretty exciting for the Auburn family.
Some time with the media yesterday, and yeah, just you could tell. I mean, he's planning on making it Monday, saying quick turnaround. I mean, because they've got a game Tuesday, and you know they've got a game scheduled for Sunday. But if he gets a chance, he's hoping to be in San Antonio on Monday night, and that would mean, of course, the Tigers playing for a national title. So good stuff from Butch Thompson. Big series starting in less than 40 minutes. Over at Plainsman Park. And again, you can hear it. If you can't make it over there, you can hear it all on Wings 94.3. And again, if you're looking for tickets for tonight or the other two ball games, Tech, our good buddy, has premium seats behind home plate that he will let go for face value. And then he will take that and match it. And the proceeds will go to the Auburn Wheelchair Tennis Team. So that's something if you want to go over there. But a big series getting started. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. We've got some audio from the basketball players we can run again, but we'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on the Final Four and anything else here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your...
Welcome back in to the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill again on the road to San Antonio. Well, Don is back in the studio, and we've got some audio from some of the players. We ran a little of it for you yesterday, but we can run more of it. Again, we'd love to hear from you, though. 334-321-1390 is the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, or you can text us on the drive text box, 334-564-1840. Drew, if you get a chance, let's see if we can run.
all right.
Kennedy is excited. our trio, she is excited about making this trip, let me tell
Good
you.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's want to know where everybody went. Everybody's out in the car ready to go. we're gonna come back out here. We're gonna find everybody. Brian was talking about multitasking. Yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah, you doing it all, buddy.
Oh, man. Hey, the show must go on. That's what I was always
That's
taught.
Right. That's right.
You know, we don't take any time off. But, I mean, Drew should have some of the audio. Drew, if you can just let Don know which one you've got, and we'll intro it, and we'll hear what the Auburn players had to say.
Just pick one.
Yeah, just a second. While we're waiting, Bill, remember we got the women's Final Four tonight.
Absolutely. That's right.
You got Texas and South Carolina, which should be a good one at 6 o'clock. And then UConn versus UCLA in the second game. UConn's looking really, really good. Whew. That one girl is unbelievable.
Yeah, you're
we
not
got
kidding,
Denver I mean. Jones, Bill, when you're ready, buddy.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's listen. Again, we've talked about how important he is against Walter Clayton, who has been probably as impressive a guard as we've seen in the NCAA tournament. So let's hear what Denver had to say yesterday to the media.
Yeah, I'm the biggest fan. I took a little more serious. I know last game, I didn't really like guard like the full game like I should have. But you know, so this time, I'm really trying my hardest. You know what I'm saying? Try to be better.
It's like you just mentioned, it's not like a Final Four game needs any more motivation. But do you guys kind of carry a little bit of extra fire from that game? Since I know that's obviously not how you guys wanted to play.
I feel like we've been beating odds all year. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like Auburn has never really got the credit it deserved. I feel like people still look down on Auburn. So I feel like that's why we still need to carry, you know what I'm saying, that chip on our shoulders just to keep proving ourselves and just keep making history.
Denver, not many guards have had
good games against you guys. Walter had a pretty good game. Is that, do you think about that, or do you just have to keep this about the team, or do you think about what can I do to just make
both. Honestly, I take my matchup very seriously, so coming out, obviously I'm doing my best, you know what I'm saying, contain him, help us come out with the others.
Dylan mentioned the Houston
Denver Jones yesterday at one of the media opportunities. It is crazy. I mean, I've talked to a couple of guys that are out there, and just so much media, so many people in there. And like we were joking a couple of times yesterday, you wonder where some of these guys come from, guys and gals that don't really have any basketball-related questions. I guess, you know, they're just trying to fill some space on their stuff, or they don't know the players, so they don't know the kind of questions to ask.
Yeah.
But it can be a little overwhelming for some of the players. So
I guess
it is great. Yeah, go ahead, Don.
I'm sorry. I guess that started kind of when they had that forever media day at the Super Bowl.
Remember, they
start dressing up in costumes and asking crazy questions. And, you know, I think they've tried to eliminate some of that. But, yeah, some of these guys, I just don't know, you know, what that has anything to do with playing in the Final Four.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen. It's just them trying to either get clicks or, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Drew's a happy man. His Cubs won today.
All right. Hey, they've been hitting the ball. They have been pounding the ball lately. You know, we were talking a while ago. We sort of mentioned that we wouldn't have Barrett on. Golly, are the Braves fans just beside themselves? I mean, look, there's still 155 games left to play. But nobody in the world expected them to be 0-7. And then I saw a graphic of the Braves lineup, and there's nobody in the lineup hitting 200.
Wow.
I mean, that is a team that 2 years ago was one of the best hitting teams of all time. And I know they don't have Ronald Acuna right now, but I mean, even though he is progressing, he should be back. But you got a bunch of all-stars that all of a sudden seem to, you know, not be able to buy a hit. It is crazy what's been going on with the Braves.
Yeah, it's quite a shock, I'm sure, to everybody in Atlanta and Braves fans. But like you said, Bill, it's a long season, and, you know, you can get on a streak and win seven in a row. But and my poor old Reds have lost three games in a row, one to nothing.
Yeah, in that bandbox, too. I mean, haven't they been at home?
Yeah.
I mean, that's home run derby.
Well, they were on the road last night with the Brewers, but they were all at home against the Texas Rangers. So
I mean, that is crazy. I mean, the Reds have got enough bats too that they ought to be able to do something. I was saying, you know, one thing that at least these days it's a whole lot easier to overcome a start like that. With so many teams making the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, Don, you remember, I mean, back in the day when it was like, before we had divisions.
Yeah.
You know, you just had the AL, the National League champs. Then we had two divisions, and so it was just those two before we had any wild cards. Now, I mean, the Braves, even with an 0-7 start, it still would be a stunner if they don't make the postseason. Now, what they're used to is winning their division every single year. But, I mean, they've still got tons of time and talent to be able to win. I did see that, you know, they put Ronaldo Lopez on the injured list. So that's something. It seems like when things start going bad for a team, injuries start coming too. So just hopefully it doesn't pile up and they don't dig themselves too deep a hole. But the fact that there's so many teams that make the postseason, they've still got plenty of time. So it's still early. It's not, you know, even though we're a couple of weeks into baseball season, I mean, it's still basketball season right now.
That's correct.
All right. I tell you what, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got some more audio we can run, but we'd love for you to join in 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Friday Drive.
And 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 3210, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
At the end of the drive, final 20 minutes or so here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, once again on the road to San Antonio as the family We're all going out to check out the Final Four. Hopefully we're there through Monday night, and we'll be back. We wouldn't be back in town. Oh, great. We wouldn't be back in town until Tuesday night. So hopefully, all right. We told you a little bit of some of the, there's always interesting things that happen when you're on a road trip. So I was thinking here as we go into the final 20 minutes, sure, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the Final Four, on what do you think about Auburn against Florida? Can Auburn win the national championship? But I'd also, I think this would be a fun time to get some road trip stories if you've had some crazy road trips. Don, you are generally traveling with the team, but you were out a lot of Friday nights recruiting. I'm just wondering if there's some things that might come to mind with you catching up with a team or getting away from a recruit's house or anything like that.
Mostly in the fall, we would go to high schools during the day on Friday and then try to catch a couple of games. But I've gone to, like a quarter of a game here, drive across town, then try to make it back to either, if we were lucky enough to fly, make it back to the local airport, which always was a challenge to find in some of them little Mississippi towns. You might have a guy out there with a flashlight or a lantern.
And, hey, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Well, Don, you've talked about this before, and I've thought about it and meant to ask you, how did you wind up getting so much of the state of Mississippi? It's not like you were the only guy that had coached over there when you came to Auburn. It seemed like you had more responsibilities in Mississippi than a lot of the guys did.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a big area when I was at Ole Miss, and I had a great relationship with a lot of the guys, the high school guys. And when we came here, I just kind of kept most of it. Terry had North Mississippi because he had the Memphis area. I had pretty much everything south of Jackson, Mississippi. You know, Taylorsville, where Jason was from, and Timmy Ducksworth, and a couple of those kids. And a lot of those coaches would come over here to our camps and work the camps and stay the whole week. Probably six or seven of those guys from those little schools in Mississippi. That would be like their summer vacation. I don't know how their wives took it, but that's what they did, and they'd stay the whole week with us, and Coach Tubb was always really good to the high school guys.
Well, part of it also has to do with when you have success, you're recruiting an area, and you've got those connections, and you're able to pull a few of those guys. I can see why they surely wouldn't want to change it. They'd want to keep you there.
Yeah, and, a lot of those guys, like I said, they didn't switch jobs like they do now. I remember, the coach at Jason's high school was probably there the whole time. Plus, Jason's dad was an assistant coach at Taylorsville High School. A lot of people didn't know that. And he was the basketball coach. And, that was a pretty neat deal. And, it was a lot of fun. We've got a caller, Bill. We got Chris on the line.
Yeah, let's get to him. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
All right, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, all.
Pretty good.
You guys, I want to say, first of all, you do a great show, and I enjoy you every day chance I get to listen to you guys.
Thank you.
But
Bill was talking yesterday about the noise in Kansas. I was curious about, have you heard anything? I'm just not joining the show today. That was one question. And do we have any other basketball recruiting news other than what's going on in Kansas? And one last question. Do you have a list for Big Cat this weekend? And I'll hang up and I'll listen, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We can try to get that for you. I know that Christian Clemente, Jason Caldwell and Christian have really been working on that hard, and the folks that have still stayed in Auburn. That's what's made it crazy this weekend is so many of the folks that would normally be covering Big Cat are in San Antonio. But Jason was saying there's about 30. I'll see if we can get it for you as we head into the final segment. But there's still no word. In Florida Bedonga, there was Kansas people seem to feel like that Auburn is the team to beat there. I guess there's no huge rush for him to do it, even though schools would like to go ahead and get players locked down. I would just wonder how much time Bruce Pearl and Auburn have to be spending on recruits while you're getting ready for the Final Four like they are right now.
Yeah, but, and I mean, I, Bill, I'm sorry, I think it's a dead period now, too, if I'm not mistaken, for a few days with the basketball.
Yeah, that doesn't mean players can't commit, though.
No, not at all. And I'm sure they've got guys in constant contact with those guys, and I'm sure they're doing a lot of Zoom calls and probably not letting a lot of that information out. Because if you start saying, well, Auburn's Zooming somebody, well, somebody else is going to try to do the same. So I would keep it close to the vest.
Yeah, well, of course, everybody knows who he is. He was a McDonald's All-American a year ago.
Great prospect.
And Auburn was very much in there till right at the end when he chose Kansas. So that's why I think a lot of people feel like great opportunity for the Tigers to pick up a commitment from him.
And plus the year that Auburn's having. You know, I heard somewhere something's not quite right at Kansas. I think they've got, if I'm not mistaken, their starter all are in the portal. I could be wrong, but that's unusual for Bill Self in Kansas.
Well, it was an unusual year for Kansas basketball, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, for
remember
them.
They started the season, they were preseason number one.
Sure were.
And
sir.
They really had an off year for the Jayhawks, and there are a lot of there are a lot of folks wondering, you know, has Bill Self run his course there at Kansas?
Yeah, it happens. Just ask your friend Cal.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I tell you what, we'll get to our final break. I'll see if I can find the latest list of players that are going to be in for Big Cat. Still plenty of time for you to join in, 334-321-1390, here as we continue with the Friday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center.